Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Welcome back to our show. This is Daniel Rasby. I'm a tax attorney. I'm here with my father, Imran Rasby. We're at Higher Ground Financial Group, and you can find us on our website, riskfeestaxes.com. Again, that's riskfeestaxes.com.
Thank you for joining us, and feel free to reach out to us at riskfeestaxes.com. You can make an appointment for free. It doesn't cost you anything. Ask your questions. And if you'd like to hear more about a certain subject, you can always reach out and tell us that, hey, to talk about this or that, and we'll be happy to address those subjects. One of the things we want to talk about really is if you have a certain amount of money, what do you do about estate planning? Are you over limit or exclusion-wise, gifting-wise, all those things that become a concern? So let's talk about that.
Yeah, estate planning is really important. Everybody should have an estate plan done. Even if you don't have a lot of assets, if you have at least a house, you have some retirement savings, you should think about what are you going to do with this money? Because you may choose and you may prefer to spend all of your money during your lifetime and then die with your last penny in your hand. And some people do. But the reality is, if you want to make sure you have enough to live in retirement, you're probably going to end up having a little bit of surplus. And so where is that surplus going to go? You don't want to go into the government, and you don't want the government picking which of your family members to give it to, which is what they will do if you don't have a will. So you definitely need to have a will. And if you own real estate, you should have a trust. But what is the most efficient type of asset to transfer to the next generation? There are some good assets to leave and there's bad assets to leave. So good assets would be real estate and stocks, bonds, mutual funds that are not in an IRA. So non-qualified accounts, usually, especially highly appreciated stocks and real estate, because when you pass away, your kids get a stepped up basis. That means they don't pay any capital gains, even though you would have if you sold the property or the stock today.
Because they inherit it at the value it is today. And they don't care about what you paid for it. They get it at that value. And so now whatever grows from then on, they would have to pay capital gains later, but not on what it grew before.
But Raz, you have a house. You're my father. If you want to give that house to me now, wouldn't that be a good thing? I mean, and then that way I can start managing the money. And then,
yeah, I could put your name on the title.
A lot of people think that's a good idea, but it's not. Why is that not a good idea?
Because you don't get a step up in basis. You get to have to pay my capital gains that I've had over the last 20 years, which you shouldn't have to.
Right. And it's not that I have to pay them today, but if I ever sell the house, I have to pay the capital gains as if I bought it back when you bought the house.
Same with stock. I mean, I might have Apple stock from 1995. And if I give that to you, you're going to have to pay a lot of capital gains. But if I die and leave it to you, then there's no capital gains.
So you always want to leave those highly appreciated stocks to your kids at death rather than giving it to them now. If you have other options, obviously, if you need to give your kids something, you don't have a limited number of spaces. Well, that's where you talk to an advisor. You talk to a tax attorney. What is the best way for me to give gifts? Because we had a client recently that said, I want to give with a warm hand, not with a cold hand. And they kept repeating that. I want to give with a warm hand, not with a cold hand. They want to be able to see their kids enjoy the gifts while they're alive. And there are ways to do that. You just want to pick accounts and stocks and assets that are not going to cause you or your kids massive taxes to do that gift. So those are good things to leave at death, the stocks or the real estate. What are some not so good things to leave at death? The worst thing to leave to your kids right now in the current tax environment is an IRA or 401k, TSP, 403b, those types of accounts. There are terrible assets to leave to your kids. And you might be thinking, well, why? I mean, I inherited from my mother when she passed away. I got this IRA and I've been spreading out the taxes over my lifetime with a stretch IRA, so I don't get taxed that much, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. I get another check every year from it. So what's wrong with that? Well, the problem is you can't do that anymore. The SECURE Act requires that your kids take all the money out within 10 years. So if you have $1 million that you leave in your IRA, that means they got to spend basically $100,000 each year. They could choose to spend a little less, but then they have a huge payment of tax at the end of the 10 years. in any case, they do have to take all that money out within the 10 years. Now, if you have a lot of kids and you can spread that out over many, many different beneficiaries, then maybe it's not so bad. It doesn't change the tax bracket so much. But if you have one or two kids, it could really make an impact and put them into a higher tax bracket. So inherited IRAs are a really bad idea in most cases to leave your kids currently. So we talked about the good and the bad. Now, what is the best? The best and most efficient thing to leave to your kids, there's really two of them.
One is Roth IRA, because if you leave a Roth, they can actually leave it in the Roth for 10 years and let it grow tax-free. And that's an awesome thing.
We have a client right now. He's 95 years old. He's got $600,000 in his Roth, or not his Roth, his IRA. And he's got a bunch of money in cash as well. And so he had two choices. He could leave the IRA and the cash as is. And then when he dies, his son has got to pay tax all within 10 years and spend it. Or he can take the money and take the cash and pay the tax now, make the IRA Roth. So now when he dies, his son gets $600,000 Roth. And the son can wait 10 full years of growth with no withdrawals, and it's all completely tax-free, and then take it out in the 10th year, all tax-free. And so that's what he's thinking about doing. That's going to be much more advantageous for the family. It'll be more tax than the dad was going to pay right now, but it's less tax than the son was going to pay. So it ends up saving the family a lot of money.
Tremendous amount of money. So that's one option. The other option, and most people don't realize this, they think it's a bad word. They want to spit half of it, right? After they say life insurance. But life insurance is actually probably the most efficient way to transfer wealth from one generation to the next. And really, even if you're in your 60s or 70s, it may still work. So one of the things you have to understand is, most people think of life insurance as, hey, something I have to have when I'm young. I get the cheapest possible, and then while I'm earning income, so it's gonna replace my income. Yes, that's one type of life insurance. But there are another type of life insurance that is a cash value life insurance. It's a permanent life insurance. It's designed really for a couple of different ways, reasons. One is to transfer wealth, and the other is to have a tax-free cash accumulation vehicle. So for transferring wealth, that's what we're talking about estate planning right now. Why is it the most efficient? I mean, if you buy life insurance, isn't that going to be part of your estate?
Well, yes, it is going to be part of your estate unless it's in an irrevocable trust. But even if it's in your estate, it's still much more advantageous than Roth IRA if your purpose is for legacy. And if you're trying to decide about Roth conversions, the best way to think about it is if you want to leave this money to your kids, then life insurance is much more efficient. If you want to spend it while you're alive, then Roth IRA, Roth conversions might be more efficient depending on your age. And again, we're talking about somebody who is maybe 60, 65, or 70 already. If you're 30 years old or 40 years old, then life insurance is probably more advantageous in both ways compared to a Roth IRA. But for somebody who's in retirement age thinking about starting this conversion, then life insurance is more efficient, even inside of your estate. So what you're getting at, Raz, is if you have more assets than the estate tax exclusion, which is 40% tax on everything above $14 million, if you have more than $14 million, then you probably want to put the life insurance in an irrevocable trust, so that the death benefit is completely outside of your estate and you don't pay estate tax on it.
But can't I just move like $7 million into a trust outside of my estate?
You can, but then your kids will pay capital gains. So you don't want that, because if you put anything other than life insurance in your irrevocable trust, the kids will owe capital gains when they sell those assets someday. And so it's still better than paying estate tax, because 20% capital gains is better than 40% estate tax, but zero is even better, and life insurance is always zero. So that's the reason we would use that. But even if you don't have over $14 million of assets, and then you have $3, $4, or $5 million of assets, and you just want to leave it the most efficiently that you can to your kids, converting to life insurance will give you more leverage than a Roth. So let's use an example. Let's say you have $1 million in your IRA, and this IRA you've identified you probably won't need to spend. You might need some of it if there's a big emergency like long-term care or something, but you probably don't need to spend it. So you have two choices. You can take this $1 million, you can take $100,000 each year for 10 years, you pay some tax, and you put the $70,000 into the Roth. Ideally, you'd actually get the tax from somewhere else, and then you put $100,000 into the Roth each year, because you're not allowed to put more into the Roth than what was already in the IRA. So it's better to do it, even if you have to borrow money to do that. That's subject for another day.
Well, no, let's address it real quick. I mean, if you convert to Roth, you can always take the money out. But once you've converted to Roth, you can't add more money to it. The limitations. So you can borrow money, and if you decide, I shouldn't have borrowed money, well, take the money and pay the loan back. But that we can talk to you, just make an appointment, riskpeacetaxes.com, see what's the best one for you.
And so that's one option, right? You can take $100,000 each year, make, put it into the Roth. And now at the end of the time, at the end of the 10 years, now you have zero in the IRA and you have $1 million in the Roth plus whatever it grew over that time. And that's going to be depending on what you invested in. But it may have grown to 1.5 million by that time. We don't really know. It could might even go to 2 million. So what is the difference with life insurance? Well, with life insurance, you take the $100,000, you pay the tax, you put it into life insurance. And that first year, you still have $900,000 in the IRA. You have $100,000 you've put into your life insurance. If you die, the death benefit is probably $1 million already. So then your kids get $1 million tax-free, and then they still have $900,000 in the IRA, which is taxable. So that's already a much better position. Over time, as the IRA drains, the life insurance gets bigger and bigger as well. So you might have a guarantee of $2 or even $3 million of death benefit by the time you finish funding this. And so that means after the 10th year, let's say $2.5 million is what you have. So now you've put in $1 million, your actual account value might not be the 1.5 million or 1.7 million that the Roth would have been. You might only have 1.1 million in there, only a tiny bit more than you put in, but the death benefit is 2.5 million. So when you die, your kids get far more than they ever would have gotten from that Roth IRA. That's the reason that life insurance is more efficient for a legacy planning than a Roth IRA is, if you can qualify. So then the question is, well, I am 65 years old. I got high blood pressure. I've got this and that. There's no way I could get life insurance. And even if I could, it'd be super expensive. Well, I should hope it's expensive. We're talking about putting $100,000 or $200,000 or $500,000 every year into it. You're trying to put as much as the IRS will let you put in, because the IRS has limits on how to take advantage of this tax-free vehicle. So even if you have a small health problem, or maybe even a couple small health problems, it doesn't necessarily mean you can't get life insurance. It just has, we might have to try with a couple of different companies or whatever. But the leverage is still, even at a lower rate, at a not so favorable rate for health, for life insurance, the leverage is still so much greater than it is with the Roth IRA. You're almost always going to have two or three times the amount of death benefit as your contributions. But often a lot more. If you're really healthy or if you're a little younger, could be even better. But even at an older age, 65, even 70 years old, it is possible.
It still makes sense.
It does make sense. So go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com, so we can do the calculation for you and in front of you, with you, so that you can see, does it make more sense to do a Roth conversion or to put the money into life insurance?
And if you're unhealthy, that it may be different. We've had somebody that was on disability, but they still qualify for life insurance. It's a different type of underwriting, morbidity versus mortality.
So go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated, pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.